Thanks, everyone. Good morning. It's so good to see all of you here in church. Are you guys ready to receive the word? Good. You can have a seat. You know, it really is honestly such a joy. We've been wanting to come check out a live family church for many years now. We've heard all the amazing things that God is doing. So to finally be here and to be visiting family and people we love and adore, people who have been mentors in our life, is just really special. Do you want to give a shout out to your pastors? Genuinely. Yes. Two of the best. And I can say that, like, as a guest speaker, I'm not just saying that because that's the right thing to say, right? No, I'm actually saying that because I genuinely know them. My husband, Zach, who some of you will get to meet during second service, he was able to do a discipleship program with them for many years. I had already aged out at that point, so I didn't get that opportunity, but I did get to work really closely. And not only are they family, but they truly are mentors in the faith. And I've been a recipient of their commitment, of their sacrifice, of their love for the Lord. And I know that they're blessing you guys here. So you guys have some amazing, amazing pastors here. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, I want to just tell you a little bit about who I am. You know, give you a little insight into the kind of person I am. So several years ago, I went back to school, about 6 years ago, I went back to school to get my master's degree in Christian studies. And it was the first day of class, the first day of school. I'm so excited to like embark on this new theological journey, this exciting new thing that I'm going to do. And so I'm sitting in my very first class, and one of my professors, he's meeting with everyone who's starting this program together. And he's, you know, talking to us, and he's telling us about how great of a program it is that we're joining, how it's such good work, that the work of theology, to study, you know, the Lord and the Bible and to learn more about him, it's such a beautiful thing. It's deep, meaningful work. And he says this, he says, you know, God, he is transcendent and he is unknowable, and yet he makes himself known to us. And, you know, he's going on and on. This is a worthy work. And he says this to our class of you know, adults, full-grown adults getting our master's degrees. He says, you know, we humans, we are but dust. So the rest of the class, they're sitting there, they're like, yes, preach it, professor, that's beautiful. But what I hear is we humans are but dust. And so I start to giggle. As a grown woman, I start to giggle, and I'm like looking around, and I'm like, did anybody else catch that? Like, we are but dust, that's hilarious. And so now I like to say that I am a but dust theologian. And so this morning, all of you being here at a live family church, we are all but dust theologians. Can I get an amen? Amen. Awesome. Well, hey, let's actually dive into the word as some but dust theologians. And let's look at the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. If you have your Bibles out, pull them out. If not, it'll be on the screen. We're going to start in verse 1. It says this: the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound." Can you turn to your neighbor and say, "Do you hear the rattle?" "And the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breathe from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army." Verse 11, "Then he said to me, 'Come, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy to them. This is what the Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them." Verse 14, "I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. I have done it, declares the Lord." Amen. What a powerful, powerful passage of scripture. This morning, I wonder, how is your hope? How is your hope? I think verse 11 is really interesting. They declare that our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. Hope is actually a really powerful thing. And when you're in a place or in a moment or in a season where you feel like you've lost hope, how many of you know it can feel so dry? It can feel like you are a valley of dry bones when you don't have hope. Now, this passage of scripture, I know it was quite a few verses, but I wanted to read the whole thing. And it really is a beautiful message of hope that the prophet Ezekiel is declaring over Israel at a time in their history when they were at a place where they desperately needed hope. The nation of Israel at the time, they were off in exile. They had kind of a vision of what they thought their future would look like, and it looked completely different with what they were actually living in, what they were actually walking in. They were in exile away from everything that was familiar. They were kind of in a moment where it was a crisis of faith, and they were kind of wondering, seemingly without hope, wondering what is next? What is our life going to be? We are just like a valley of dry bones. Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. So this morning, once again, I wonder, how is your hope? Do you find yourself maybe in a hopeless season or maybe just a hopeless situation where maybe there's a lot of parts of your life that are really great, but there's this one area that just feels like, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your wisdom. I need your goodness. I need your name to just come over this area of my life. So you feel like there's some areas of your life that are like those dry bones, lacking hope, jaded by that feeling of like hope deferred, your heart sick, wondering if you'll get the answer that you're looking for, worn out and just feeling like you need a little bit of hope. This morning, I want to share a message that really is a message of hope. Not just wishy-washy hope, but hope in the name of Jesus. I believe Ezekiel came and he prophesied this vision of hope. And as he did, like that verse said, it says that the bones began to rattle. The bones began to shake. So the title of my message this morning is, Do You Hear the Rattle? Let me pray and then let's get into it. Father, we thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for just the opportunity to come to your house. God, we are just so glad when we get to come to the house of the Lord, to gather in community, to gather under the teaching of your word. And so, God, I just pray today as we dive into your word that, God, you would speak to us, that, Lord, that you would speak through me, that you'd help me get out of the way so that your word can be made clear. God, I pray for every single person in this room. God, I pray that they would leave this place with a little bit more hope, a little bit more faith, that they'd leave with their head held high, looking onto you, looking with their face just fixed on your gaze. And so, Father, I thank you for it. Thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. And I think that we would leave here walking, talking, living, and looking a whole lot more like Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Awesome. So in 1952, maybe you're familiar with this story, there was a swimmer named Florence Chadwick. Anyone heard of her? Okay, no, nobody. That's okay. I'll tell you about her, okay? So in 1952, she set out to do a 26-mile swim from the coast of California to a place called Catalina Island. And in this swim, she had a team of people that were helping her to make this swim. And the team of people, there was like a rescue boat, her mom was there, and there were people that were there that in case she got tired, they could help pull her out. If she kind of had a freak out moment, they could rescue her. They also were on the lookout for sharks. Not my cup of tea, don't think I would do that, but they were there to help her and just really to help her make this swim happen. And so the very first time she sets out to do this swim, she gets started and she starts to swim. And partway through, or 15 hours into the swim, can you imagine swimming for 15 hours? Swimming for like a minute is hard, but 15 hours is like insane. So she's swimming for 15 hours. Just want to make that clear, 15 hours, guys. Whole workday, two workdays. And as she's swimming, a huge fog kind of rolls in. And she starts to be able to not really see very well. And it's this dense fog. And so she looks to her team and she says, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can make this. But she's like, okay, I'm just going to keep going for a little bit longer. So she swims for another hour. So now she's 16 hours into the swim, but the fog is so intense, the fog is just, it's so disorienting with where she's trying to go, that she finally says, okay, I can't do it. I got to call it. Pull me into the boat. I'm done. I got to call this one. So she gets into the boat, and it's not until she gets into the boat that she realizes that the shore she was swimming to was only 1 mile away. 1 mile away from reaching her goal, but the fog was so intense, so disorienting, she had to pause and get out. And when she got into the boat and when she finally like realized how close to shore she was, she told her team and told her mom, she says, oh, if I could have just seen the shore, if I would have just seen the shore, I could have made it. If I would have just known I was so close, I could have done it. She says this, she said, all I could see was the fog. I think if I could have seen the shore, I would have made it. You know, that fog, it's like this loss of hope. It's like, you know, when disappointments and setbacks come in, when the answers that we're looking for, it just feels like they're maybe a little bit delayed in our eyes. The fog can come in and it can make us pause and question giving up. It can feel like the despair is too much that we can't actually keep going, and we're tempted to quit at times because of that fog. Eventually, Florence, she actually did the swim again months later, and she did the swim again, and once again, a thick fog came in. But this time, she knew, okay, the fog, it's just here for a moment. I'm just going to keep going. And she didn't let the fog set her back. She held on to the hope that the shore was just 1 mile away. And because of that, she eventually succeeded and was the first woman to swim that route. The Ezekiel, it really is this message of hope. And it's a message that they needed, Israel needed back then. And I believe it's one that we need today. And I really do believe, as I've been praying about this morning and praying about Alive Family Church, I do believe that God wants to breathe his life back into you this morning. And to help you where there's maybe areas that are dead, areas that feel like they're seemingly without hope, that his breath would actually help to clear that fog. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to look back at that passage in Ezekiel. So you can open up your Bibles and kind of stay there in Ezekiel. We'll jump around a little bit, but I want to look at Ezekiel and answer the question, how can dry bones live again? How actually can we find hope when it feels like there is a valley of dry bones? Does that sound all right? Awesome. Even if you said no, I would still do it. Okay? So here's what we're going to do. How can dry bones live again? Number one is this. They hear the word of the Lord. How can dry bones live again? They hear the word of the Lord. The word of God is the source of life for dry bones. Ezekiel verses 3 and 4, it said this, he asked me, son of man, can these bones live? I said, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The dry bones, they needed to hear the word. They needed truth to be spoken over their bones. And it wasn't just like a passive thing. It wasn't just like good vibes and good feelings and like good Pinterest quotes. They actually needed the word of God. The valley of dry bones didn't just need, hey, you got this, bones, you can do it, keep on going. No, they actually needed the life that comes from the word of the Lord. When we face moments of hopelessness, moments of despair, moments where it feels like the fog is coming in, we too need the word. And when they had the word, the passage in Ezekiel tells us, when they actually had the word prophesied over them, what happened? The rattle began to shake. The bones actually began to come back to life. Matthew 4:4, it's probably a passage that if I know anything about pastors Eric and Erica, our pastors are Eric and Alexa, so I get it mixed up. If I know anything about them, you guys will know this verse. Matthew 4:4, it says, but Jesus told them, no, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. When we find ourselves in spaces of needing hope, we too need the word of God. I'm sure like many of you, I have also been in seasons where I've needed the word of God, where I've been in moments where it has felt like there's just some hopelessness and there's just some fog in the way, and I've needed the word of God. You know, Zach and I, we have a 1-year-old boy named Smith Zachary Spangler, and he is adorable. If you see a boy with like bright white hair, that's ours. And he's wonderful, and we've just had the best year with him so far. And our journey to getting pregnant was not an easy one. We went through a 3-year journey of questions and not having answers and trying all sorts of things. And it was a 3-year journey where we thought, you know, okay, let's have some babies. Let's get pregnant. You think it's going to be easy. And then 3 years into the journey, there's at times where it could feel like, I felt like, oh, I feel like I'm, you know, a valley of dry bones. And I'm asking the Lord, Lord, can this live again? Can this area of my life, can it live? And I, you know, we faced all sorts of things. We had doctor's appointments and surgeries and procedures and medicines and shots. And then eventually there was one time where we finally, for the first time in years, saw a positive pregnancy test. And we were so excited. We were so, so pumped. And we were just like, yes, we can't believe it, but we can believe it, but we're so excited. And then we were met with the news a couple days later that we were actually miscarrying. So in that season of my life, there were many moments where it just felt so difficult. But I am a church girl. I'm a Bible girl. And so I know I cannot live by bread alone, but I have to live by the word of God. I know that this valley of my life, it needs an anchor. It needs the word of God. And so I know that I couldn't, you know, when I think about living by bread alone, I can't live by what the doctors say, right? I can't live by what my friend's experience was. I can't live by what other people are telling me. No, I actually have to live by the word of God. So in that season of our life, I had to get a hold of a passage of scripture that I could just cling to, that when despair came in, when the fog came in, I could cling to this to just help the fog begin to disappear. And so the verse for me was Psalm 113, verse 9. And I think they're going to put it on the screen as well, just to for you to see it as well. But it says this, it says, he gives the childless woman a family, making her a happy mother, praise the Lord. And so I just held on to that verse. He makes the childless woman a mother, making her a happy, I'm mixing that up, making her a happy mother. You know what I did is I had this passage. I had it as a screensaver on my phone for years. I had it posted in all sorts of different areas because whenever I just was feeling like, oh Lord, I need just an infusion of your faith, infusion of your word, I would look to this. I would speak it over myself. I would speak it over my life. I would speak it over my body. I would declare it out loud. I'd whisper it in my heart. I just clung to the word of God because how can dry bones live again when they hear the word of God? His word brought hope to my heart. I want to read this in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 and 18. It says this, when God made his promise to Abraham, he backed it up all the way, putting his own reputation on the line. He said, I promise that I will bless you with everything I have. Bless and bless and bless. Abraham stuck it out and got everything that had been promised to him. When people make promises, they guarantee them by appeal to some authority above them, so that if there is any question that they'll make good on the promise, the authority will back them up. When God wanted to guarantee his promise, he gave his word. A rock solid guarantee. God can't break his word. And because his word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. How good is that passage? Thank you, Lord, for his word. So once again, dry bones, they need to hear the word of God. So my question for you is in your area of your life that maybe is feeling a little hopeless, what has God said to you? What has God spoken in his word? What are some promises that you can hold on to? What has he said? And begin to hold on to those verses. Begin to hold on to his word, declare it, believe it, confess it, speak it over your life, because his word can cause dry bones to come alive again. Amen. So number one is they hear the word of the Lord. Number two, how do dry bones live again? They receive the breath of God. They receive the breath of God. So they heard the word of God. And what we see in Ezekiel is that the tendons and bones and muscles, they began to come together. But in verse 8, it said that there was no breath in them. And they needed the very breath of God. And the role of breath in that passage of scripture, maybe you caught it, it's all over that passage. It's in verse 5, it says, I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. Verse 6, I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Verse 8, but there was no breath in them. Verse 9, then he said, prophesy to the breath, come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. And then verse 10, and breath entered them. It's interesting because this word breath, it's not just breath. It's not just like, it's actually a really multidimensional word that really means spirit, as in God's spirit, as in God's presence, and it's the breath of life. It's like what we see in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 2, it says, then the Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. You know, God breathed his presence. He breathed not just like air, not just like, he actually breathed his presence. He breathed his breath of life into man and man became a living being. And so for us, for dry bones to come alive, the word of God actually needs to be accompanied by the breath of God, or in other words, by the presence of God or the spirit of God. His word, it reminds us of his promises and his character and his nature, but we actually need his very presence to accompany his word for us to actually live it out. You know, we don't just memorize scripture. We don't just memorize promises just for the sake of like memorizing. We actually, we get the word in our heart, but we actually really seek after his presence, his spirit, because there's power and life in his spirit. I love what John 5:39 says. It's a good reminder for us in this like tension of having the word of God, but not neglecting his presence and his spirit. It says, you search the scriptures because you think that they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me, yet you refuse to come to me and receive this life. You know, we don't just want knowledge about God and knowledge about his word. We don't want to just study it for the sake of studying it. We actually want him, right? We really, truly need him. We need his presence. We need his spirit. And I think what can happen oftentimes, and maybe you find yourself in one of these two places where when we're in seasons or moments where there just feels like we're that valley of dry bones and we're just going through something tough and we're just feeling like our hope is a little bit deferred, I think sometimes we have a tendency to do one of two things. Number one is sometimes we just withdraw. We withdraw from the Lord because the pain sometimes feels too much. The pain seems overwhelming. And so we kind of withdraw and it's hard. Maybe because the pain is so deep, it's just hard to talk to the Lord sometimes, or you just feel like, you know, things aren't in your timeline, so it just can make you feel a little jaded and you can withdraw. Maybe you've been there before when you're facing things like that. Or number two, what you can do is if you're not withdrawing, sometimes what you can do, the tendency can sometimes be to make it impersonal. So instead, you're going through a tough season. So, you know, I'm just standing on the word of God and as you should. And you just kind of like, I'm just going to declare and I'm going to, you know, decree the word of God over my life, which again, you ought to be doing that. But it becomes so impersonal that you miss out actually on his presence. You miss out on the fact that Psalm 46 tells us that he's a present help in our time of need. And that actually when you are in a season where the valley of dry bones is before you, he actually is, his presence will actually be there with you, helping you and guiding you, not to stay there, but to help you to help lift you out of that valley. So again, we can kind of do one or two things. We withdraw or we make it impersonal, but man, we actually really truly need God's presence. We don't want to neglect his presence. In our season of life, you know, I found myself honestly doing both things. At times withdrawing, at times just, oh, it's just another negative test. Oh, another surgery we need. Oh, another thing, round of medicine. And I would kind of withdraw from the Lord. And then I also had moments and times where I began to make it impersonal. And I just was like, okay, I know I'm a Bible girl. I'm a church girl. I know I need the word of God. So I'm going to stand on that. And I just began to stop talking to God. And I began to just kind of stop talking to God about that area of my life. And so I came across a song. It's a worship song called Daily Bread, and it was by a group called P&W Collective. And I would listen to this song on repeat. I remember one time I was home and I was cleaning the kitchen and vacuuming, and I had turned this song up, and it was probably like the loudest it could possibly be in the kitchen. And Zach walks in and he's like, whoa, you good? Like, that is really loud. And it just was like, just kept repeating over and over and over again. But this is the lyrics of it. I wanted to share it with you today because I think it's a good reminder for us. It says this, it says, you are our daily bread. You are our daily bread. And we will seek your face before we seek your hand. You are our daily bread. You are our daily bread. And we desire you before the promised land. It's powerful lyrics and a good reminder of what the scripture says, that really, truly, he is our daily bread, that we actually seek him first and foremost. We actually seek his presence, his spirit, time with him before anything else. The breath of God, the spirit of God, the presence of God is actually essential for dry bones to come back to life. Amen. So number three, how can dry bones come to life? Well, number one, they hear the word of the Lord. Number two, they receive the breath of God. And then number three, they actually live in the hope of Jesus. They live in the hope of Jesus. How do we see this from Ezekiel? Ezekiel is the Old Testament, so they don't yet know who exactly Jesus is. But what Ezekiel is doing is it's pointing us forward towards the future. He's offering, at the time, he's offering hope for the Israelites in kind of their immediate future. But he's also pointing them and pointing all of us to the greater hope of Jesus, the greater future hope of Jesus. He's helping them to see, hey, right here in the middle of this mess, there is actually hope for the future. And for you and I, we also get to see that there is hope, and it's hope in the name of Jesus. We actually get to live in the realized hope of Jesus, which is such amazing news. Ephesians 2 verses 12 and 13, it says this, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's amazing. How many of you are just so grateful for the word of God? Such amazing truths. You know, we were once in this world. We were in this world without hope. Those of you that got baptized today, you were once in this world without hope, and then you found Jesus and you found hope, and then today you made an amazing declaration that he is the Lord of your life. It's a beautiful thing, but all of us have been in that boat where we lived in this world without hope. All we could think of and all we could cling to for hope was maybe well wishes or just anything to fill the void, but now we actually can live in the reality of hope in him, that we are not excluded from the kingdom of God and from citizenship in heaven. We actually are included because of Jesus. That news alone gives us great hope for anything we face. Amen. He is our source of hope. Romans 15 verse 13, it says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Another version of that passage says that he is a fountain of hope. That Jesus is actually a fountain of hope for us. You know, you are not without hope when you're with Jesus. And God, I believe, I know he can turn the most hopeless of situations around. You can actually be overflowing with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit because of his word and because of his presence. And I want to encourage you this morning to not let the enemy trick you or deceive you into thinking that you're without hope, or into thinking that the situation that you're facing, whatever it may be, maybe it's hopelessness in a job or with kids or with marriage or feeling like, am I ever going to meet a spouse, or in a job where you feel like I thought this was going to turn out different, or whatever your situation is, maybe kids who are far from the Lord and you're praying for them to come back to him. Whatever your situation is, you are not without hope. And so don't let the enemy deceive you. The enemy will try to keep you in the valley of dry bones, to keep you from hearing the word of God, to keep you from receiving the breath and presence of God. But you actually live in the realized hope of Jesus, and God is with you. He is for you. He is in the valley with you and is helping to bring you out of the valley so that dry bones will live again. Don't let the enemy steal your hope. He can cause the most hopeless of things to come back to life. One last thing, and then we're going to close the time of prayer and just declaring the word of God through worship once more. But in Ezekiel, I love what it says four different times. It says this phrase, you shall live, or you will come to life. I think this is a good reminder for us that Ezekiel, he declares this over Israel, and I believe he's declaring it even over us. The Lord's declaring this over us. It says this in verse 5, and you will come to life. In verse 6, and you will come to life. Verse 9, that they may live. In verse 14, and you will live. I think sometimes we even just need to hear that. No, I'm going to live. I'm okay. I'm going to make it through this. This thing that feels dark, it feels hopeless, it feels like it is dead. It's a valley of skeletons. It feels like it's dead. No, you will live. You will come to life. Amen. Can you all stand on your feet? Let's pray. And then the worship team is going to lead us in a song. They're going to lead us in I Speak Jesus once again. And I pray that as they lead us in this song, that you would just receive the name of Jesus being spoken over you, that you would actually declare that over your situation, whatever it is that maybe you're facing. And maybe for you, you're like, hey, no, I don't have anything, but I'm confident that you know somebody. You know somebody that they have a valley of dry bones. And I want to encourage you to declare, speak the name of Jesus over yourself, over your family, over your friends, over your coworkers. But let me just pray and then the team will lead us. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power that is in the word of God and the power that's in the presence of God. And Lord, I just pray for everyone in this room, God. You know their situation. You know the stories in this room. You know the heartache people are facing. You know the pain that people have walked in maybe for years where they felt like the dry bones are there and then feeling, they're asking the question, can these dry bones ever live again? And God, I pray right now by your spirit, you would breathe life back into every person in this room. You would breathe your life back into every person. You know, if you're in this room with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you actually are facing something right now and you're like, I do need some hope. I feel like there is a valley. Can you just lift your hand? I just want to pray over you. Maybe it's a close family member that's facing something, navigating something. I just want to pray over you, Lord. I pray over every single person with their hands raised, if it's for themselves or if it's for somebody in their life, a family member, a friend. And God, I just pray that whatever the situation is, that God, you would actually give them a word to stand on. You would actually supernaturally give them a word from you, a word, from your scripture that they can stand on, that they can hold on to in Jesus' name. That God, that you would speak to their heart. You would strengthen them for the journey. That God, if their head has been down and their head has just been heavy, that God, you would actually lift their head. You would lift their face. God, that you would help them to see you. You'd help them to see your goodness, your love, your hope, your peace. That God, you would walk with them through the valley of the shadow of death. That they would fear no evil in Jesus' mighty name. So God, I thank you for your spirit going forth, for your word going forth. In Jesus' name, amen.